All right, you all. So welcome back. Happy New Year. It's 2024. And, you know, I had to speak on this because November 19th, nobody really said anything. And now it's really come back in a painful way here talking about, you know, men's mental health. The setup, my main question for this podcast, you know, originally was, where are my tears? Like, where are my tears? And I think this year was significant because this was one of those years where I was actually macho. I was actually strong, but not in like an outward way where you know, look at like Fast and the Furious and, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage or my man Booker T with the hand and, you know, who we see, you know, in that football presence, like a Lawrence Taylor or, you know, a Ray Lewis or, you know, even, you know, Coach Mike Tomlin, just, you know, stone face, Bill Belichick. I just got it done. I got mollywhopped and beat up and all that. And nobody ever saw it. Nobody ever saw one drop of blood. And I sat up and thought at the end of the year, I was like, I should have been in tears a couple times. Not from any physical pain, but from the emotional work and stress that I had been through. And I never gave myself time. And as I look at like my celebrities out there and all the accusations and shakedowns of money, you know, I don't know how they're taking that. You know, we got Diddy being shook down. I've seen Michael Jackson shook down. Jamie Foxx shook down. And then you even have like Dave Chappelle with his with the battle he's had with the transgender crowd. And I strongly believe that it has all been in poor delivery. Dave loves people. He loves everyone. And I was actually in person, and he has a trans comic, I believe. I can't remember her name. He has a trans comic, and she's hilarious. She's the opener. She's the very first act of all of his shows touring the country. And she's hilarious. Like, at first, I was like, wow, like, this chick is really kind of fabulous. Like, very voluptuous and show me. And then, like, as the story goes on, you know, you find out that she's a trans woman. So, everybody's kind of getting shook down in Hollywood for some kind of money. And for women's empowerment, it's good because women are just doing to men what's been done to them for like centuries, right? Exploiting them for, you know, their gifts, abilities, tools, hard work with nothing in return, right? But I don't know how that affects them behind closed doors. Like, I thought Tyrese was being too emotional and all that, not realizing like, at a certain point, as a man, you get hit with everything. You get hit with your youth. You get hit with all the pain. You get hit with all the pleasure. You get hit with fatherhood. You get hit with finances, with money, with boredom, with stardom, with failure. You get hit with everything as a man. And it's new. It's not like you know how it feels to be 25, 35, 45, 55 and have all these feelings, all this emotion, and all of this experience. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, where are my tears? Like, why didn't I even give myself a chance to cry? Like, I'm not a thug. I'm not Marshawn Lynch. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not Tupac or Jay-Z or, you know, I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. You know, I'm not Jay-Z. I'm not the roughest, toughest, hardest dude. I'm just a simple guy that, you know, tries to stay in touch with his emotions. But just kind of just recently, just it's been tough because, you know, a friend of mine just lost his son. I didn't know that he had the mental issues that he had. I just always assumed that his energy and his movement and push I thought that was all just male testosterone, not realizing there's some emotions there as well. There's some self-esteem issues going on there as well. And there are some unchecked thoughts there as well that we all go through as men, and we just don't say anything about it. And then I think the hard part is one day you snap, and it's not a big snap, it's a small snap, and you just do things that you've never done before, or things are okay that were never okay before, because some part of you snaps, it breaks. And you've lost touch with that ability to just reach down to the ground and just feel the green grass, the health of the earth, and receive those beautiful vibrations. You lost touch with that. I don't know what takes us away from that, but it happens. It happens to everyone. There's not one person I've seen that doesn't lose touch with the frequency of Mother Earth, the frequency of healing, the frequency of life. We all lose it at some point. So my question is simple. Where are my tears? Where did they go? What's happening to us, men? Because this isn't normal. And it's not the first time I've seen this. We love each other. We love on each other. Sometimes in a way that is maybe too small, too minute. Maybe we need a more outward, more open display of love to just show each other that we care and that we appreciate you here. But I had another one of my boys, and this is a businessman. He runs 2-3 businesses. And he said he was just numb. We're exchanging, you know, messages and sometimes memes back and forth, laughing and whatnot. And I was like, bro, what's going on with you? How you been? He's like, man, I'm just numb. And I was like, where does this start from? He's like, I don't even know. I think that's the hard part. I had a moment just this last year in 2023 where I just literally walked through the door after work, and something had just taken my joy. I don't know what it specifically was, but I was just like mad, like almost in a rage, right? And my wife comes over talking, and she was like, "Babe, what's going on?" I was like, just give me a hug. No, I said, no words, just give me a hug. That's all I needed at that moment. I didn't need nothing else. Just give me a hug. No words, just give me a hug. And miraculously, I felt better. So, I don't know where we're at, y'all. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I'm like, where are my tears? And here's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, I mean, as I unpack this a little bit, I think the funny part is, I think I told myself indirectly I didn't have time to, you know, really be emotional, you know, with work hammering down and, you know, due dates, tasks, responsibilities, delegating, you know, specific tasks and then budgets and, you know, trying to make sure that we're profitable and trying to make sure that we all look good. You know, you can really be stretched and burning the candle at both ends. And then when your boss is out, or there's layoffs, or somebody's sick, or somebody's hurt, or somebody can't, you know, fit the need, and then I have to fulfill that need, it calls on me to be something completely different. And I mean, your work self, your LinkedIn self, is how the world knows you. You know, unless you're a professional athlete or an entertainer, your work self is how everybody knows you. So for me, I put a lot of energy into that. And the time that I would normally take to take my fruit break, you know, like most people take a smoke break, I was still up at the computer eating my Honeycrisp apple, juicy Honeycrisp apple, and, you know, the delicious banana. I'm at the computer typing, working while I'm doing that. So
Yeah, that time when I normally get that breath of fresh air, I probably wasn't getting that little bit of self-care where I'd walk barefoot through the grass, you know, just for a little bit. I wasn't doing that either. And then that little bit of time during the day where I normally get on social media and laugh hard at things, I wasn't doing that either. Because now I'm not waiting until later in the afternoon or later, you know, after I, you know, pick up the kids and done with coaching and all that to actually be me again. So, you know, and I mean, that's the beautiful part is I am me from the moment I wake up in the morning. And then I realize I'm me. I'm a husband. Then I'm a father. But before I do all that, let's get some coffee. Right? So I wake up as me, right? And I should be meditating. The moment you wake up, that's the time for meditation, prayer, thanks, where you set the heavens, right? You bring the heavens down. And then you go get the coffee. Then you get to be whoever you need to be for everybody else. And I wasn't doing that. So I'm robotic at work. I'm disconnected from my heavenly self. And then by the time I do get to see everybody from a fun capacity as far as coaching and all that, yeah, coaching, the light turns on and the magic is there because I'm operating in an element that, you know, honestly, I do anyway. I don't really need to be a coach to coach. I'd be doing it anyway, same as an athlete. I don't earn a dime from running as a master's track athlete, but you know, the magic turns on. But yeah, being the love hunter and looking for love in all of these scenarios, I see how, and I told my wife this, I was like, babe, you know, I apologize. I'm not the best husband I need to be because of how hard I'm working. And it wasn't that I was out cheating or lying or disrespecting her or not giving her any time. It was just that I looked back and I was like, dang, I ain't been fun with this woman. I ain't laughed with this woman. I ain't joked with this woman. I'm sitting down breathing all heavy. Like, you know, I'm pops from, you know, Friday. You know, I'm doing a little bit too much. So I don't know who you are listening to this or who you'll share this with, but we can put too much in that backpack. You can put too much in that backpack where now you're holding your wife's hand, walking up the stairs, and any little thing that knocks you off balance, now you pull her down. Now you hurt her. And that's the thing I think that's scariest is you don't realize how bad you're beat up until you start to beat up on other people with your bleeding, with your scars, and with your gray hair, and with your damage. You don't realize that you didn't take care of you. You didn't breathe in fresh air. You weren't doing your meditation. You weren't doing your yoga. You stopped going to the gym. You lost your outlet. You weren't drinking a nice, tall, cool glass of water 2 to 3 times a day and getting that, what, 30, 40 ounces at least of just fresh water. You don't realize how hard you've been working and not asking for help. And I feel like that's where I got to, where I was so busy that I forgot to ask for help. I was so busy and consumed with the work that I couldn't really ask for help because asking for help would take me away from the work and what I needed to be doing. So no, it's not that I forgot how to cry. It's just that I took a licking and kept on ticking. I took a whooping and kept on. And like I said, I'm not the big macho tough guy or anything like that. But a lot of people, you never saw me hurt or down because I honestly didn't think I had enough time to be down. Other than the time I was sleeping, which I wasn't doing a good job of that either. I'm coming off of a couple nights here, even though I'm a little bit disturbed because I'm helping the little lady. You know, after having her surgery, we got meds we got to give her in the middle of the night. I'm getting good rest now. I took the week off right after Christmas, and I got quality rest. I'm feeling like the husband that I should be. I'm feeling like the dad that I should be to my daughter, you know. And you know, if you have kids, you know, like, you don't get to be the best mom or the best dad as a lower version of yourself. You got to be on them vitamins. You got to have the water. You got to have hydration. You got to eat well. It doesn't just get better because you think yourself into it. That it don't work like that. I mean, it may work for some people for quite a long time, but when you're off, you're off. And don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't even compare yourself to your younger self. When you're off, you're off. And we have a gentleman here that lives not too far from me. He's a friend of mine. He has a business where he boosts and helps films in Hollywood. He's great at his job, amazing at his job. He only sleeps 3 to 4 nights. He only sleeps for 3 or 4 hours a night. And he used to do that with Teddy Riley, the Yup Yup, Blackstreet, you know, guy, Aaron Hall, that whole New Jack Swing. When he was his understudy, that's how he did it, you know, 3 and 4 hours of sleep. So if you can do that, excellent, great. But what I'm saying is, whatever knocks him off, he's gonna know. Cause he'll be like, 3-4 hours of sleep, that's all I need. But that time he gets 1 hour of sleep, that might really shake up his world. So I don't know who you are out there, you all, and I pray that this message will spread like wildfire, because I see people hurting and beat up. They're not getting the massages. They're not getting the rest. They're not getting the hydration. They're not looking at the vitamins and all that. And they're not getting that quality time to just sit and laugh and enjoy themselves. If anything, they might get only 1% of all those things, because they've been letting something else take over in those areas. So if that's you, you've been trying to figure out what is wrong with me, or why am I accepting this so easy? Is it because other people are doing it the same? Other people are drawn out, tired, and all that. Are you accepting it because other people are doing it? So, you know, I see myself and my friends and my classmates that I went to high school with. And I see them now, and there's a spark that's there, because we're all excited to see, you know, when we've made it or we've done good things. The hard part is when we run into each other and we see that, you know, one person grabbed the pages of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding a little bit better than the other. And they're just looking at you like, man, like, you really did it. You know, you doing your thing. I'm just trying to be like you. Like, we say that as a joke. Man, I'm just trying to be like you. But some people really mean it. And I mean, I'm not saying they slit your throat and take your money. But I mean, low key, let's think. When you haven't got it, you haven't been successful, and you're in that bitter, dark place, and not a dark place of rest. I mean, a dark place of jealousy, pain, and bitterness. People are there. They just won't say it. They won't do it because they'd be caught. But I just want to encourage you all, just spread some love on you all, because men specifically, we're not connected to our emotions as well as the women. And we're out here doing the most damage. Not to everybody else, to ourselves first. And that's why we go out and reenact war on people, because we don't get any love. Nobody's giving us love. Okay, so sorry for the randoms here with the broken up of the message, but the way we're built and the way we're beat down is just crazy to me, because we go as men, we go into relationships, we go into, I don't know, just battle, war, whatever, demanding things from the environment and things from people that are already there. Like, they're already there. You don't have to kill anybody for it. You don't have to beat anybody down for it. You don't have to start a war for it. You really could get that from a friend or somebody that loves you or cares about you. You really don't have to colonize a whole country or whole village for it. You don't have to go to war with a neighboring town for it. And Cain doesn't have to kill Abel for it out of guilt. Like, it really isn't that deep. And then on the flip side, then as men, we go looking for things on the planet and feelings and emotions on a planet that we have destroyed, that we have killed. So now, as the Grinch, we're mad at everybody else because now they won't give us any love. We're mad at everybody else because there's no more love in the world. There's too many locked doors. No more locked doors. There's too many locked doors. There's too many police. There's, I don't know, too many taxes. We're mad at all the things that we created for ourselves as men. This is a man's world. Only a man, okay? Only a man would dwell in currency and money, where something says that I am this valuable. Like, I am this valuable, you know? And okay. I had a buddy actually who's into like foreign exchange, stock exchange, all that, share something with me explaining how diamonds were worthless at one point in history. And it wasn't until somebody said that they were worth something that they increased in value. So I'm not telling you what to invest in and what to buy as far as stocks, but I am also telling you, like, we kind of make the rules. Like, we say that these pieces of paper have a certain value. We say that these jewels or whatever have a certain value. So, you know, I don't know who you are and when you'll hear this message, but I thank you all for your listening. I thank you all for your ears. And I just know that for all the things we're dealing with, we can't take this into relationships. We can't. We should not. As a matter of fact, it isn't until people go to AA or people do the shadow work or they go to a therapist, they start to realize that they're just dragging a dead body into every relationship. And then the second that that person says anything about how nasty that carcass smells, well, why are you focused on that? That's a part of my past. That's part of my hurt. That's part of my pain. Exactly. Why are you dragging it into today? Why are you dragging it into, you know, present day? So, you know, I've done it. We all do it. And I think that's the hard part is now. You know, let me speak on it, though. I am not 7 feet tall, right? I'm not 7 feet tall. And on that same token, I know that women aren't kicking down the doors to be with me. You know, I'm not an NBA size man, right? So I don't fit the status quo, the mold of, you know, what's hot on the market. Now, women may try to act like I am because I'm married. I've got the children. I've got the life and the house and all that. Women can act like I'm something of value, but it's like, man, like, I know what it feels like to not. You know what I'm saying? And I have a good friend of mine right now who's even shorter than I am out there struggling. We try to throw women at him all the time. And he likes really tall women, women that are taller than him. and women that he's interested in are women are interested in men taller than they are. So it's just a deadly triangle. You got these really tall guys that aren't looking for these women at all. And then these women that my buddy's looking for aren't looking at him at all. And that's what I'm saying, y'all. We can keep doing this same game or start to realize that, hey, maybe there's an attractive person out there with some good qualities. That's a good person that knows how to speak to people, that had a good childhood, that had a good upbringing, that's on good terms, good relationship with their parents, doesn't have an evil blood vengeance with their brother or sister or exes. It might be good for a relationship. What do you look like on paper in a quality relationship? Just on paper. No visuals. Just explain what that quality relationship looks like without even talking about the physical. What does that person say to you? How does that person make you feel? Financially, what does that relationship look like? Do you have good credit? Are your bills paid? Are there gambling problems? Is there good money management? Is there a financial planner allowed in that marriage? Is there a spending problem? Is there good food? Are we going to the doctor? Are we checking in on our health? Are we making sure we're doing things right? Are we equally yoked? Are we Muslim together? Are we Jewish together? Are we Christian together? You know, are we, you know, truth seekers? Are we conspiracy theorists where we both wear foil hats together? You know, like what does that life look like on paper before you even go to the blonde hair and blue eyes, before you even go dark skin, light skin, before you have to have a woman that looks like Alicia Keys, you have to have a woman that looks like Ariana Grande, you have to have a woman that looks exactly like Jennifer Lawrence, right? You have to have a man that looks like one of the guys in the cast of Insecure, right? Or you have to have a guy that looks like, I don't know, one of these guys in the NFL or NBA. If the visual is just visual, why do you keep choosing it? That's all I'm saying. Dragging old expectations into 2024 that don't serve you at all. Hadn't worked yet. Hasn't worked at all. Might have been good for the bedroom. Might have been good for the photo op. Might have been good for the pictures. Your mom might like how he looks standing next to you, but it hasn't served you at all. So we just got to do better, you all. We got to choose smarter. And back when they were choosing arranged marriages in the old days, the olden cultures, no, there wasn't no romance in it. No, there wasn't no Valentine's Day. No, there wasn't no kiss that begins with K. No, there wasn't none of that. But guess what they did have? They did have a mind and a village set on doing what needed to be done for that marriage, for that family, getting to know each other, getting to bond. And they actually had to do all their dating pretty much in the first year that they were married, because I don't believe they were supposed to work in like those olden times. That first year they were married and you just leave them alone. I could only hope that they were attracted to each other. But I get it. Maybe it didn't happen. You know, you just be mad and whatever, want somebody else's wife. I get it. It's people. But my whole point in bringing up arranged marriages was the arranged marriages fit the function of what was needed for that village, what was needed for that town. What's needed for your future? What's needed for you? What are your needs? It's a scary word. It's a scary word when you take away when you make yourself blind to the visual and just talk about the needs. So I asked the question in the beginning, where are my tears? You know, and I feel like just like what the ladies are doing to the short men, the men are doing to quality women. We're so tunnel visioned on things that we're not focused on real value. We're so tunnel visioned on work and the distractions that we're not really taking time to reap a fruitful harvest. So that's all I got, you all. I love you all. Hope you love me back. You can love, like, and share these messages. I'll see you soon.